Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back, sports fans. It's great to have you inside the Every Day of Saturday podcast. It's Sam Crowley, ex-fat, bald, corporate, slave in order, taken, mashed potato eaten, microwave in my cubicle, sauce down my chin speaker. It's great to have you, man. It's great to be back in the bosom of the Every Day of Saturday community. Hey, let's talk about second chances, and I want to follow up. This was an idea given to me by one of the listeners, Quint Tatro, and Quint listened to the podcast last week, 2 weeks ago, actually. Well, I had a tough day, man. If you remember that show, I talked about every 2 weeks we change out our baby Susan's tracheostomy tube, and the last time it was a disaster, okay? I panicked. I didn't get the tube in the tiny little hole when we went to put the new one in. Just to give you a 20-second overview of what I'm talking about, every 2 weeks we got to change out our daughter's tracheostomy tube. And so it's Angela's job. She holds Susan's head back so the little pinhole can be visible to me. I remove her tracheostomy tube, which starting at that point, she has no way to breathe really for any length of time. And so it is my job to take the new tracheostomy tube that we've unpackaged. It has lubricant in it, and we have a little obturator, which is a kind of a steel guiding pin that goes inside of the tracheostomy tube, and then you remove the obturator once the tube is successfully placed. Well, it didn't go that way 2 weeks ago. Angela, you know, asked me, is the tube in? I said, yes. I was kind of unsure. She wrapped the ties around Susan's neck to hold the tube in place, and essentially what we did is we cut our baby's airway off. I mean, really, she couldn't breathe. And at that point, she started struggling to breathe and turning blue. And it was just horrible, horrible, as you can imagine. Angela, to her credit, calmed everything down, said, grab the obturator tube, grab the obturator, put it back in the trach tube, and reinsert it. And I did. But I was shaking, man. Everything worked out fine. Susan was breathing. We gave her some oxygen to get back. And I had to leave, man. I went for a ride, and I cried, and I never cry. I'm not a crier. You know, I'm not an emotional buttercup or anything like that, but it hit me. It's a lot of pressure, and I'm human, man. You know, I mean, look, it's tough. I mean, you're raising a family of four children. You got a teenager, which is a whole other set of issues, right? You got a 14-year-old girl. And my two other girls, Laura and Paige, and now I got a baby who's on a ventilator, and it's our job, Angela every day, to care for her 24/7, and every 2 weeks, we change out her tracheostomy tube, and I think, man, how the hell do single moms do this stuff, you know? And how do the young 21-year-old parents in Appalachia do this stuff, where they're not located close to Children's Hospital, or they don't have some of the big city stuff that we have access to, and just, it all came down on me 2 weeks ago. So yesterday, guess what? It's been 2 weeks. We got to change out that tracheostomy tube again, the trach tube. So we got everything together, and I wasn't as anxious. I was focused. I didn't sleep well the night before thinking about it, which is totally crazy. I mean, worry is a down payment on a problem that most likely will never happen. We all know that, but we're all human. So the mind is so powerful. It can be used for good and sometimes for bad, and it kept me up all night. And I was really anxious and worried and a little nervous about this next trach change. And Angela, once again, to her credit, she said, let's review everything. I'm going to tilt Susan's head back. You're going to take her trach out. This is like we were at Children's Hospital in January. I mean, this is elementary stuff of what we were taught when we first started being trained to take Susan home. I said, okay, yep. She goes, you're going to put the tube in and everything's going to be fine. I said, you got it, babe. You got it. So Angela said, ready? I said, I am ready. So she tilted Susan's neck back. I removed her trach tube, and I calmly grabbed the new trach tube, inserted it into the tiny little hole, which is really her trach area, her trach airway, and Angela wrapped the ties in the back, and guys, let me tell you, it worked like it's diagram to do. Susan was fine. Now, Susan always gets restless. You can imagine the sensation of somebody pulling out your airway and reinserting a new trach tube, you know, but other than just her normal fidgetiness with it all, it was magnificent. And it was great teamwork. And God, am I really going to cry on a podcast? This is stupid. I can't cry on a podcast, but guys, I love being a dad so much, so much, so much. I love the responsibility that comes with it. I regret, just keeping it real, I regret not going for my dream earlier than 2005. I know I went bankrupt. I know I put my family to hell and back. I know my ego was shattered. But damn it, being an entrepreneur and being free, there is freaking nothing like it. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody says. You got a good job. Good bullshit. No, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it because you know what? You still do not own the patent on the dream. When you have your dream, you own the patent on that. On whatever words you speak that are associated with your brand, you own that. That's yours. That's your legacy. You know what you own? Job. A position. You're not paid what you're worth. You're paid what the position is worth. You understand that? That never became more clear to me than in 2003 when I received my second of three promotions in 4 years, that's great. And they told me what I was going to make. It was like 85 grand base salary, stock options, blah, 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 blah. Not even stock options at that time. I don't think I was operation sales manager in charge of 50 reps and all this stuff. Targeted was like 100 grand or so. Now, granted, I was making at the higher end of the salary, but I'd been with the company for, 12 years, 13 years? I started in 1990. I should have been at the higher end, and I was damn good at what I did. But they said targeted earnings. This is what the position's worth. And I immediately said, yeah, but that's not what I'm worth. And they go, oh, you don't get it. And I said, I guess I don't. They go, no, you got it. This is the position, operations sales manager. I said, okay. They said, this is what you get paid. You, anybody, Sam. You, Mrs. X, Mr. Y, doesn't matter. And I thought to myself, wow, that really sucks. So no matter how good I do, I'm paid what that position is worth. Look at it. The president of the United States makes 400 grand. Whether he is the greatest president that we've ever had in the history of the United States or the worst president in the history of the United States right now, that position pays $400,000. What's the incentive to do better? Well, the incentive is you need to be ridiculously passionate, which 30% of the people in our country are, about their job. But they don't own the patent on that. Presidents' legacies are not defined till 20 or 30 years down the road, if even that soon, until history judges the job that they've done. They're dead by the time there's any type of real concrete data suggesting the decisions that they made were good or bad for the country. They don't own the patent on that. You know what they own the patent on? Before and after that job of running the United States. Same thing with you. If you're going to a job right now and you love it, I encourage you to stay where you are. I encourage you to ask for more responsibility. I encourage you to do more for that company. But I also warn you, you're going to regret at some point in your life not owning the patent on your dream, okay? And that's very critical. Most people don't get that because they're afraid, they're fearful, they don't believe, they think they'll fail. If you listen to the podcast right before this one, July 29th, 2015, I talked about failing. And most people are like, well, I failed once, I can't try that again. You can't afford not to. That's a ridiculous attitude to have. The Gallup poll example I used, you know? Hey, we sampled, surveyed one person, and here's what they have to say about that. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. If you fail, like I did 2 weeks ago in inserting that trach tube into our daughter, you need to go back and do it again. You are required to go back and do it again. There isn't any ifs, ands, or buts about that. You've been bankrupt? Well, holy cow. Geez, you're the only person. You've been done wrong by a business partner? Well, golly, you're the first person that's ever happened to. Come on, man. Throw the pity party for somebody else, not you. You've got bigger things to do with your life. You've got dreams to accomplish. You can't let that crap stand in the way of your success. Had I not been given that second chance yesterday to give my daughter air through that trach tube, I would have never realized that feeling. Let me tell you, man, Ange and I high freaking fived after that. You know, and it was job well done. So I encourage you, listen, fail once, so what? Fail twice, so what? Fail 25 times, so what? As long as you are still in the game, opportunity, success, they're always good. They're just waiting, but they're only waiting for the people who really want it. Does that make sense? Like, they're not waiting for the person, tried it once. No, man. That feeling I had yesterday is second to none. The regret that I had about not quitting the job earlier, it subsides after a while. It's not as bad as it was in 2007, right? But it's always going to be kind of there. Damn, I should have went for it in 1995, but I didn't have a podcast like this one to listen to. That's my message for you today. Get after it. So what? You failed. Big deal. Now you have something even greater to share with somebody else, and that's the story from failure to success. And you better get the damn patent on your dream. You hear me? Sam Crowley. Have the best day ever!
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.